On another episode of the Animation Deliberation Podcast, we are continuing our coverage of Harley Quinn Season 3. This is Episode 5, It's a Swamp Thing. We're going to talk about that and much more right after these ads we have no control over.
Sing along if you know the words. A 1, 2, 3, it's time for Animation Deliberation. A conversation and a celebration of a favorite action animated series. Yeah,
welcome back, listeners, to another episode of the Animation Deliberation Podcast, where we take action animation seriously but not too seriously. We are your hosts. I am Zuhair Ali.
And I am Andrew Rogers.
How you doing today, bud?
I'm doing pretty all right. My brain is chocked full. I said this to you right before, but I'll give the listeners, if I seemed scatterbrained today, full disclosure, we were supposed to have an interview today, but that has gotten pushed back for, some scheduling issues. It's nothing major, but we did have to push it back. But I watched something.
Just too cool for us.
He is too cool for us. That is definitely what's going on. Like, the excuse tonight was like, yeah, that's much cooler than we are. Do that instead. So, but I watched something to prep for that interview, which was a movie. And then I watched this episode of Harley Quinn. And then I Am Groot also came out this week, which we're going to try and see if we could talk about as well in another podcast today. So I just have a lot of things on the brain. So I'm doing great, but it was a long day of just, like, it's not often you complain about sitting on your couch watching things, but by the end of it, I was like, man, I need to take a walk or something.
Yeah. And but, if I'm scattered brain, then I'm just being myself.
Yeah, how are you doing?
There's nothing unusual about that.
No, not at all.
So, ready to dive right in?
Yeah, I think so. Let's do our little episode synopsis and then just kind of dive in head first like the show always does.
Let's do some Quinn talk. All right, so for the synopsis.
Clarion?
I was trying to do Harley, but it just didn't work out. But yeah, I was going for Clarion. That's exactly what it was. Okay, synopsis. So this is episode 5, It's a Swamp Thing. Ivy is unable to locate Frank through the green, the collective plant consciousness, so Harley suggests they take a break to clear her head. Accompanying Nora to New Orleans, they beat John Constantine in a shot contest before visiting Swamp Thing, who has a stronger connection to the Green. Nora spends the night with him, but when she claims that she is not looking for anything serious, Swamp Thing becomes enraged and attacks them until Ivy calms him down by opening up about her fear of losing Frank. While Nora gives Swamp Thing a chance, Ivy strengthens her connection to the Green and learns Bruce is holding Frank at Wayne Enterprises. Meanwhile, Bruce and Catwoman struggle with their new relationship due to their different needs, so Pennyworth asks Music Meister to act as their therapist, forcing them to sing about their feelings. With the therapy not availing, Bruce decides to focus on work to distract himself from his love life. I cannot express to you enough how happy I was to see John Constantine and how excited I was to hear Matt Ryan, because everything he pops up in is fantastic. I love that Matt Ryan is just kind of like, he's like Hugh Jackman to Wolverine. Like, there's no yes. other. It's just him. I don't care what you say about Keanu Reeves. It's just him. Like, that's it. Like, him coming up, like, I'm not going to lie, like, this season has been, like, okay for me. Like, it's been entertaining, but it's not like, oh my god, there's a new episode, I gotta go watch it. And the first half of it was just pretty meh, in my opinion. But then when he popped up, like, I jumped out of my seat in excitement. I was so happy. He was not there long enough, but the short period that we had him was phenomenal.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's the same complaint I had with Nightwing. They just didn't do enough. Constantine is the belligerent drunk magician. Abuse that privilege that you have this character, like, at your disposal. But I agree, he is so amazing. And, like, Keanu Reeves did a thing, but that wasn't the Constantine, like, from comics. It was very, like, how do we make this edgy for the early 2000s kind of superhero movie?
Yeah.
Whereas Matt Ryan as Constantine, he nailed it in that TV show, and he has nailed it in every voice performance since then. So yeah, he is the quintessential Constantine, and I agree. The only thing I could have also wanted was for him to be like, oh yeah, I'm over here drinking with my buddies, and just like Jason Blood's behind him, and, you know, Zatanna's sitting over there as well. Like, just throw all of the magicians at us. I would not be surprised.
No, I mean, just having him was an absolute delight. It would have been great if he actually showed up in the Swamp Thing show. That show was, oh, the season of it before it got canceled, was really, really good.
And I think there was plans for them to possibly start to cross those kinds of things with the future seasons of the Swamp Show. Swamp Thing show.
Screw the state of North Carolina and messing up their tax incentive things that messed up the whole studio. It's like, come on, like, DC's got enough problems. Like, they had to cancel Batgirl. Just, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff behind that, but like, Swamp Thing was actually good and it needs more. And I absolutely loved it. And God, seeing a version of him with a vine man bun, I guess, like, I was not ready for that. I'm not surprised because of how Harley Quinn just makes you go wow with the characters, but like, I had live action Swamp Thing in my head and that Alec, and then it was like, oh, this is definitely the polar opposite.
Yeah, I mean, even other animated Swamp Things have been very menacing, and like, Swamp Thing is one of the canonically most powerful characters of Earth in the DC universe. Like, he just is there to protect humanity. And I agree, I was not expecting him to pop up with chai lattes. Like, it was it was a hipster eco guy. That's what they swung for. And it was just such a funny hit, because I agree, it totally just blindsided me without a doubt. I was just surprised they didn't, again, lay into it more. Like, I feel like they've been pushing a lot of stuff this season, boundaries-wise, but I feel like they've been pulling their punches on the comedy. And, like, you know, you could have made a bunch of jokes about it being almond milk or oat milk as opposed to regular milk in the lattes because he's got to protect the environment, or some, like, you know, couldn't get certain beignets because he's a vegan. Like, really hammer home
these hipster jokes. Or he just doesn't have cows in the swamps of New Orleans.
I mean, also that, but, like, they didn't... It was just weird that they didn't swing for any of those. Like, I was, again, expecting a little bit more out of this show than what we got. Because I'll be honest, I wasn't the biggest fan of this episode. Like, not a lot... It didn't feel like a lot went on. It just kind of
It had its
happened.
Moments. Because even, like, all the stuff with Nora, like, it's the over-sexual humor that's kind of, like, a fill-in for lack of creative comedy, in my opinion. And this season has been doing a lot of that, which is kind of what's brought it down. Like, I mean... I can't remember if it was both of you that didn't agree with me, but somebody didn't agree with me last week when I said that, like, the intellectual humor has been lacking in this episode, and, like, this episode kind of extends that for me.
Yeah, this episode was just not intelligent, and, like, the B story with Batman and Selina, it was just kind of spinning its wheels the whole time, and, yeah. Like, one of my notes here is, why was this the thing that Alfred said, okay, we need to get therapy on? Like, Batman has a lot of other stuff going on, but he's like, oh, the relationship? Therapy. That's the solution here. We'll let him run around in his bat suit the rest of the time, but it's therapy here.
I think the line was naming the cats after his parents for the woman that wants space. Like, oh.
It was just that the was way rough. That he kept accidentally going, like, Mom, I mean, Martha, eat your tuna. What are you doing? Like, kept calling the cats Mom and Dad. That was so funny. And it is easy to make jokes at Batman's expense, but just, like, that dialing up those little notches were so funny. I was only disappointed because there is a Batman cat in comics, and his name is Alfred. And I was just like, why didn't we bring Alfred in here? Give me that cat.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna lie, like, the part that you talked about, I kind of zoned out during the whole Music Meister thing. Like, I wasn't paying attention to the song. It really wasn't that engaging for me.
And those voice actors are very good at what they do for voice acting. It sounded like they were singing karaoke. Like, I'm not just trying to drag this show through the mud. I feel like we've been complaining.
Which isn't
the
worst. It isn't the worst thing. It was more of a story thing that bored me. But, like, it is kind of funny when you just have the voice actors just attempt to sing as opposed to, like, having singing experience.
That's true. But my only problem extends beyond just how they were singing. But this goes into my music background. The compression on the voices sounded like karaoke. Like, it sounded like they had a speaker playing the music and they handed these voice actors a microphone and said, okay, now you sing, because I could barely make out some of the words that Batman was trying to actually say. There were so many of them that felt muddled behind what was going on. So I think that was also part of why it just felt like karaoke in my head. And also, I know that, like you said, it's kind of fun to have them not sing good, but one of my favorite episodes of The Flash, which is a lot of people's least favorite episode of The Flash, is the Music Meister episode, because of the fact that you had all of that cast with a background in music, with Grant Gustin and I forget the girl who plays Supergirl. They're both from Glee. You had the guy who plays
Reverse Flash.
Yeah, you had the guy who plays Reverse Flash. You had
the detective
Commissioner Joe. He was in Rent, which I absolutely love him in Rent. Like, that was my first exposure to him. So to them see him being a hardcore cop actor is just awesome. But like,
oh my god, what was other Archer's name?
Oh, Malcolm Merlyn. Dad.
Yes.
Yeah, Malcolm. Like, there's so much about that episode because I kind of forgot they had a background in musical theater. So suddenly to have them like full on singing was amazing.
And I tried getting Stephen Amell on that too, and he was just like, no.
Good for him for standing up for himself, but.
Yeah, because Arrow did not need that.
No. No, it did not. But we'll jump back into the positives of the episode.
Tell me how excited you were about that interview without telling me how excited you were.
But I mean, I will say there was some fun that they had with Music Meister that I love this idea that they have played with a little bit in this season of the villains having like real jobs, that Music Meister is a therapist that hypnotizes people into singing their feelings. Riddler runs escape rooms because that's just his whole shtick, is setting traps and making escape rooms. Like, I want more of that. I want resolution at the end of the season that, like, Bane's coming to terms with his life moment is him, like, opening a gym and becoming a physical trainer or something along those lines. Like, give me more of that.
I just want you to be the best version of yourself.
Oh my gosh, him as like a Peloton instructor? Please. Oh, come
we're
on,
going to
lady.
Come to a nice cool down.
Up the hill, if you don't, it will explode. That wasn't Bane, I'm sorry. I don't know what
that
was.
Coming to get you.
And it's just all the villains in class, like, man, he's going hard today.
You know, for something that we just said that we weren't too fond of, we definitely spoke on it a lot.
Yeah, it's so hard because, like, this show has grown a lot in what we've done over, you know, analyzing and doing a deep dive. The minute that we deal with a comedy and not, like, an anime fight scene, it's so much harder to dig into the, you know, depths of our personal being when the number... or, you know, the top thing in my notes is, I feel for you, Harley. Beignets always sound amazing. Like, there's not a lot of commentary to be made on that besides I also like beignets. So it's, we always have a lot
to talk
about.
I had to look up what that was, not realizing I've had them before.
I was just about to say, you've never had beignets? Sir, we need
to
fix that.
There's this restaurant over here called Little Bit of Nola that I go to pretty frequently, but, and I've gotten them, but I guess I just never, like, retained what it was called. It was just like, I want this thing. So when they said it like three times, like, okay, I have to Google what this is. I was like, okay, yes, I have had that before, but I have yet to visit New Orleans, so TBD.
We'll get on that when we all decide to meet in the middle and have the hosts meet up. We'll meet in New Orleans here.
That would be great. I would pig out so hard over there.
Same. I just love food. That's not what this podcast is about. How do you feel about Batman being framed up as, like, the bad guy?
Oh, I actually had a food segue, too. But
oh,
yeah,
did you?
Well, that did throw me off. I was like, all right, who's, like, the next villain that's going to pop into this? And, like, I'm intrigued at what Bruce has to do with it and how it's going to influence the plans. Like, I like that there's actually, like, plot to kind of speculate on. I don't know if it's actually going to, like, live up to it, but... it makes you go,
Yeah, well, because we asked that question last week of, okay, who did we think it was? and I think my guess was Amanda Waller, perhaps. I know you didn't have one, right. And I can't remember if Jay Scotty had any speculation, but I was sitting on another like possible answer, because in the companion comics that they wrote to bridge seasons 2 and 3 together, there was like another eco-terror villain that like was rivaling Poison Ivy. And I was almost going to say it, but then I figured I would have to do like a 10-minute monologue on who this villain was if it was true. So I was like, I'm just going to let it go. And then if that's who it happens to be, I'll explain it when we get there. But I kind of like them keeping it in this tight knit, because I feel like we're almost going to see Batman pull a Commissioner Gordon this season and go off the deep end a little bit with like his breakup with Catwoman being the equal of Jim Gordon's wife leaving him. And now he's just going to go full into, how do I stop Poison Ivy? I need to save this city. I got to be a damn good cop.
He's probably going to try to stop that movie production as well, because Clayface has been pretty heavy on that.
Yeah, there's so many like little plots going on this season that I feel like last two seasons we didn't have as many like threads to be able to pull on.
Yeah, because it was like dealing with the ramifications of the end of season one. This could very well just be Arrowverse all over again.
What do you mean?
We got
by
a
that?
Solid, oh, solid first two seasons, and then you're so busy introducing people that the plot just starts going all over the place and you start building spin-offs instead of like maintaining consistency.
I mean, we maybe get a Kite Man show. Woo.
Just to prove my point even further.
Yeah, no, it's I'm withholding judgment because it, I also only binged the first two seasons. I never had to wait week to week for those first two to come out. Waited week to week. So I just wonder if also that's part of my judgment being askew is, you know, this show has enough value to entertain me for an hour when I watch two episodes, but it doesn't quite have enough to entertain me when I only get the half hour chunks. Because I've found that needs to be more of a conversation when it comes to streamable shows, and it's not as much of the conversation when it comes to streaming shows. It's like whether in what format people watch things depending on how much they enjoy it, because like a great example of this is the Hawkeye show on Disney Plus. I know there were a lot of people that didn't necessarily enjoy that. I talked to a friend of mine that binged it all at once, like waited for it to come out and just watched the whole Hawkeye show. And they were like, yeah, it was fantastic. I just enjoyed it. And I was like, yeah, but how did you feel like when you had these cliffhangers that didn't pay off? And they're like, well, I just kept watching. It just rolled over. And I'm wondering if that's the same thing with Harley Quinn. Like these first couple seasons, I was just like, oh yeah, she killed the Penguin. What happens next? Oh, she's got to go to the school and fight the Riddler. Okay, what happens next? Like just kind of going through it. Whereas this season, I'm like, okay, I just watched an entire episode about an orgy. Now I have to wait another week to figure out where the plot is going to go. Like that is weird when
that
you say it
episode,
out loud,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Like
clearly, I'm trying to repress that.
You were trying to repress it while it was happening. It was so. Yeah. So funny to watch as I would say things and you were like, that did happen during this episode, didn't it?
Yeah, I try to tell people like every time I think I come out of this rock that I live under, I just realize I'm under a bigger rock. So it's like
Podcast amnesia is also a thing, because there have been some of these that I'll listen back to when I finally catch up on my podcast log and I'm like, did I say that? Did I really? What? So
you give me shit for rewatching anime and do you re-listen to podcasts?
I don't re-listen to. I listen to for the first time for, you know, quality assurance purposes.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'm self-centered and just like the sound of my own voice.
There
Maybe
we go. That's what we're sticking with. So yeah, I have no speculation on what Bruce is doing, why he's doing. I don't know how much I even want to speculate. It's just very intriguing. Like, it's every time that I think, well, I don't want to say every time. This is probably the first time this season where it's like they've really grasped me onto like, now I'm curious for next week. I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I got to watch it. But it's like, oh, let's find out what's going on with this Bruce thing. Oh, and I have this podcast to record for.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. They've been biding their time and I just hope that it's going to come out in some capacity. But we also have, like I said, so many C stories of the
All right, so we're never going to find out what these sea stories are because Andrew's laptop died. So let's cut to some ads we have no control over. And we're back.
And we're back.
All right, show. So he found his charger.
Woo.
We're back. Hope you enjoyed those ads. I'm sure I wouldn't have.
I'm going to play Inside Baseball. We just sat here for what, like 25 minutes? Because not only did my laptop die, but Windows decided, oh, this is a time to do an update now. So,
yeah. Way to go, Microsoft.
Yeah,
thanks for making my life easy.
Thanks for waiting for me, buddy.
Apple.
Maybe.
Anyways, so the perfect segue that I had before that we just made everybody wait this long for is I love how invested King Shark is with the cats and the fact that he's like feeding them sushi and stuff. And just his delivery on the line and everything is just so wholesome. When she was like, you need to get out. It's like, I'm pretty sure I live here. Like, fine. You need to leave for 6 hours. He's like, just short enough to not have time for the city, just not long enough to really understand. Like, this is great. And then that's all we saw of him.
Well, he forgot his phone, so he couldn't get in contact with anyone else after that. That was...
Watch him that's going to be the plot of next episode, is that he's just lost in the city without his phone.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Him just gallivanting about and, like, just start cameoing in random characters. Like, he ends up on Danny the Street. They find him singing karaoke. They're like, what are you doing?
Oh my god. Danny the Street would be epic.
One of the best random characters is just Danny the Street. Put him with King... I completely forgot
about that. Told you wouldn't expect it.
I wasn't expecting it, just like Ivy was not expecting to get interrupted. I'm just going to say it. Harley has been, like, on my nerves this season.
Yes!
As for this relationship.
100%!
Like, they are not giving her any actual redeeming qualities in what is going on. Like, she's trying to be supporting, and I get it. It's not easy for anyone to be supporting in a relationship. But, like, fully not understanding anything that is going on in her partner's life is just, like, it's not great.
Yeah, and it annoys me that every episode wraps up with, like, Ivy being so grateful to her. Just, like, she's the source of, like, 90% of your problems. Like, this is a very toxic relationship. I'm sorry, Ivy. And, like, I think that's one of the reasons that I wasn't fully engaged with this episode, too, is, like, it started off with me just being really annoyed with her. First off, I don't know why Ivy would be, like, meditating on the couch. Like, go meditate in the park or something. I feel like you can get closer to the green if you're actually sitting with the green, but I'm also not part of this made-up magic science metahuman shindig, so what do I know? But also, it's like, clearly she is meditating. Shut the F up and go eat the chips somewhere else. Like, the fact that she had to, like, interrupt twice, and then Ivy's apologies, like, oh no, it's actually more difficult. It's like, dude, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, it was the same thing in, I think it was the last episode, when she was trying to get really sciencey, and they're like, we're gonna start a death metal band in the living room. Like, I kind of hope it comes to a head a little bit. Like, I understand this is the Harley Quinn character, is, like, doing whatever she wants, she's a free spirit, but, like, don't have Ivy let her keep getting away with it. I know that's the whole point of it, is, like, Ivy has come to terms with this is the person that she loves, and you do put up with those things, but, like, a person actively causing these problems that could be so easily I don't know. It's weird. It's just...
It's very toxic, and it's very codependent, and I don't like it.
Yeah, like, we got this whole story of getting away from the toxic relationship with the Joker. Now we're in a totally different version, but it still is just as toxic as Frank is.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, like, between Harley and Joker, it was, like, her having, like, I need him. Now this is absolutely, like, them needing each other. And it's pretty sad to watch.
Yeah, it was toxic in the emotional and possibly physically abusive ways with the Joker. This is much more over codependence and ignoring red flags, which again, I get, I know you ignore some red flags, but this is like a lot of problematicness and like, hey, I'm going to drag you out with my friends now and they're not going to help us in any way fight, you know, Swamp Thing. Instead, they're going to sleep with him.
Yeah. Like, dude is going to hit the fan between these two.
I don't know if that's actually the direction that they're heading, though, because it's very old school, like Full House family comedy days of we have a problem pitched to us at the beginning of the episode and then it's wrapped up 20 minutes later in a nice little bow of we've hugged, we've kissed, we've made up, we learned a lesson here today. I don't feel like they're leading up. Maybe
I feel like it's building up.
I agree. I hope that it is. I just don't know if that's the direction that they're going.
You hope it builds up for them to go at each other?
A little bit. I want to see it come to the good resolution, not the poor one.
Okay. I still think just because the show is named after Harley, I feel like, did I say Ivy? No.
You said Harley.
Come on, brain? Yeah. Okay, I did say that. That's why I feel like Ivy is going to be like a serious antagonist throughout the season.
Yeah,
at some point during the season. And it could resolve with them just like happily being together and whatnot, but there's going to be a huge problem between the two of them.
Yeah. And maybe that's another thing, is it feels like they've really shifted focus and that Harley Quinn is not actually the main character this season. Like, she has felt secondary in almost all of the stories that are being told thus far.
Yeah, the season's very scrambly.
It is, and I can't put my finger on why. Like, we've tried to name off all these things, and then we end up talking about how, like, oh, but we still enjoyed XYZ part of whatever's going on. So they're not doing things wrong, it's a lot to keep track of, I think.
They're not doing anything wrong, they're just not doing it as good as they have.
There we go. That's the other thing. Standards are crazy in anything that you talk about.
Especially with, like, how fans are perceiving DC nowadays. Like, there's a lot of pressure to just have a series that does things right.
Yeah, DC drama, I have a lot of thoughts on and have been keeping up with a lot of the research, but we're going to keep that to different podcasts that is not this one until we actually get the full information of what's going on over at Warner Brothers. But there's a lot of things happening.
A lot of things indeed.
As long as Young Justice is still with us, that's all I care about. You can cancel whatever else you want. Well, I mean, obviously there are other things I would like to hang on to, but I think Young Justice is at the top of that list.
It's the cream of the crop right there. Because they finished up the animated universe, so.
Yeah.
I mean, there hasn't been anything from the new one for me to be invested in, so.
There just hasn't been enough of that new one yet, so.
Yeah.
There's promising hope. But in the meantime, as it kind of sounds like we're talking less about this episode and more about other things going on, I do want to kind of give an update. The Young Justice Targets comics.
Mm-hmm.
They have still been continuing to come out. The third issue actually came out this week. And so it looks like probably in the next 2 to 3-ish months, we'll get all 6 of those issues. And at that point, you could probably expect we are going to talk about those. We've had that going on in the behind the scenes for a while. But as more issues came out, I wanted to, you know, remind the fans, hey, we have the Young Justice comics going on. And I found out I have been a big fat liar. These actually take place after season 4, apparently. So it's totally new information that we've never seen before. Because Wingman showed up in one of the comics. I'm like, wait, he didn't get the dog until after season 4. And then I looked it up and they're like, nah, actually, it's post season 4 or season 5. Whatever season of Young Justice we just got, it's after that. So
much intrigue.
Very much intrigued. They're pretty good. I have been enjoying them. It's just more Young Justice. It makes me all warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah. That's probably going to be one of those things where once it's done, I'll just read all of it. I saw the Wayne Family comic season is wrapping up soon.
Is it? I didn't know there was a season.
Yeah, because there was like a notification came up. It's like, hey, new issue, and it's like closing soon or something like that. Something about like a season ending. I was like, oh, if that's the case, then I can just
binge. Well, they're not contiguous anyway, so.
But I'd rather like want more and there be more than the opposite.
It's the pain of reading comic books when you're up to date on things is having to wait week after week to find out something new. But as you say that, yes, the Wayne Family comics are ending. Season one finale is up right now as I take a look at that. We've talked about those a little bit, but I don't know if we've ever said they're on Webtoon. They are totally free and they are short and cute and enjoyable. The opposite of Harley Quinn. They are super wholesome and you are never going to have to worry about blurring anything out.
Yeah, the little snippets that I've seen has just been fabulous.
Oh, it is.
Anything else going on, my dude?
Not besides the usual social media stuff. Keep up with us there. I apologize. I was not good about updating the schedule today. I probably should have sent out a tweet that said, hey, we're not doing an interview. This is what we're covering instead. But today was so chaotic and hectic that we're just riding along with it, laptop batteries and all. So, yeah, follow us on socials for some updates. I can no longer promise everything. But what about you, Zuhair? Do you have anything going on the side besides Animation Deliberation?
Good Lord, have I been guesting a lot. The episode from Captain Game Show should be coming out soon. 323 with Reed Murphy to talk about sports stuff. And oh my God, we played this game called Cake or Taken. And it's on YouTube. Seriously, like if you want to watch me in tears from laughing, like go check it out on YouTube. Show them some love. It's basically like a zoomed in picture of either a cake or an athlete's butt, and we have to guess which one it is. And it was just hilarious. Go check it out. Aside from that, I Am Groot came out this week. We are going to be covering here in Animation Deliberation soon, but I did get to record with Matthew Carroll of Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. So if you want my instant reaction, like literally minutes after I finish watching it, then please go check them out and show them some love. Always check out our other shows on Stranded Panda. You can see them all on strandedpanda.com. And what else was I on? I know there's a list. Superhero Ethics. I talked a little bit about Ms. Marvel on there. I think that's it. And check out Jay Scotty on Panda Vision for What We Do in the Shadows. I think I got it.
Yes. That's all that is in my knowledge. Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess that's it. So
yes, that's all the stuff. Yeah. So as always, tune in next time and stay whelmed.
Until my laptop dies again. Muscle, muscle. Let's get this plugged in.
Thank you for listening to the Animation Deliberation Podcast, a proud member of the Stranded Panda Network. If you would like to contact us, you can email animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at @animationdelib1. For this and other great shows, you can visit strandedpanda.com or join the great community that is the Stranded Panda Chat Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/SPChat. Tune in next time, and remember, stay whelmed.